Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
Hello, welcome. What's up, everybody? I'm Guy, and that's John. If you're watching on YouTube, great. Like this video. Subscribe to the channel. We appreciate that. If you're listening to the podcast, fantastic. Thank you very much for that. Go ahead and give us a five-star review on Apple Podcast. That helps out the show. We're brought to you by our friends at Tito's. Handmade vodka. Tito's handmade vodka. Numero uno. Belly up to the bar. Have some in your home. Go into somebody's house. Put a bow on it or don't and take them some Tito's. John, do you have a Tito's toast to start this show?
I do. Anytime that your star player says, if you don't hire said coach, I'm going to demand a trade, you got problems on your hands, right? Whether that's Derek Jeter, LeBron James, or Max Crosby. I mean, that's
the big three.
When a guy makes a proclamation like that, you got to listen. The Raiders,
because usually the players follow through on those things, John.
I don't think Max Crosby was lying either. Don't blame him. Underpaid, bringing a lot to the table, never misses a game. They hired Antonio Pierce.
Yeah.
I give cheers to Mark Davis. I think it would have been very easy to just status quo, roll it back, what was just happening. He hired Tom Telesco, who was the general manager of the team that he beat. I think the final score ended up being 60-20 or something. It felt more like an 80-3 game. Pretty sure it was 45-0 at halftime or 42-0 at halftime. One of the greatest halftime scorers in the history of the league. Was fired the next day on Friday morning with his head coach, Brandon Staley. And now he's a Raider general manager. So I do think if you're Mark, your last two GMs went Mike Mayock and Ziegler, who, let's face it, it's a difficult job. That franchise is difficult. The pressure of always just like a lot of negativity surrounding, and both guys failed big time. So you just get a guy, say what you want about Tom Telesco, right? The Brandon Staley situation. He has a pretty proven track record that he can be a GM in the NFL.
Functional, right? Professional, which is,
yeah, you hired a pro.
You could use that. Yeah, you hired a pro. I don't know if your head coach is a pro, but you hired a pro GM.
Isn't it kind of crazy? It's not all his fault. He wasn't the head coach. Hell, he wasn't even the defensive coordinator. But they had Jaden Daniels on the team, and he couldn't have looked any shittier. And then he goes to a real coach, and he wins the Heisman in the toughest conference to play against defense.
Well, he could have looked. He looked good as a freshman. There was a lot of promise on Jaden Daniels, and then it kind of fell apart after that.
Is it more?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
More of a compliment to Jaden than didn't try to diminish what he was surrounded with in Arizona.
Can you win the Heisman if you're ASU's quarterback? Even if you put together the year he had, no, you can't. So
I think multiple like first round wide receivers at LSU. I mean, they got some horses.
I give him a lot of credit for going there. Do you remember when he left ASU, there was one of the players posted video from the locker room of them like taking, like throwing the shit out of his locker, taking his name down, like kind of dancing on the grave. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They're like happy that he was gone. Like, oh, at the time I was like, see, this is, you know, the story is like his mom's very involved and all that kind of stuff. Well, seems like Mama Daniels and Jaden have a pretty good, where's he going to get? Is he a top 10 pick?
That's a hell of a question. I'd be lying if I really, really watched him closely. Like, I spent a lot of time, obviously, like most people, watching Caleb and even Drake May. I went out of my way. I'd have to go back, and I think by all accounts, everyone thinks he will be.
Yeah, I'm
feels small, but skinny wise. But I mean, Lamar was small, but Lamar went 32. People forget.
Wouldn't shock me if Bo Nix somehow ended up third. I don't think he will. I think he ends up four. And I saw, was it Lance Zierlein? Somebody the other day was like, everyone's just assuming that North Carolina's Drake May goes second, which I am. I think we're in the part of the year where we got to talk in circles. Then we end up right where we started, which is Caleb 1, Drake 2. But
I honestly spent like 3 weeks watching back-to-back-to-back Drake May games and thought I was getting like Justin Herbert or Phillip Rivers or something.
Yeah, hoodwink.
I remember thinking like, is this? No, I get it. The traits, like you draft guys like that.
White guy wears number 10, must be Herbert.
Yeah, it's not like he just threw 47 touchdowns. They were in the conference championship game. They lost, but like one of the most historic seasons in the history of the program, you could make the argument. Like you're betting on traits and projection anyway. You might as well just take the guy with the most traits. Though, I think it's starting to leak out more and more that Papa's pretty involved with old Caleb, and that's one of those things like, no, the dad.
Oh.
Like, no one cares what your dad thinks in the big leagues.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get to pick up your phone and call Andy Reid when your son was on special teams and you get to play on defense. He doesn't pick up the phone.
Yeah.
We're in college, that phone call gets picked up.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But is
it like if you told me Caleb and Lincoln? No, 100%. I'm just saying Caleb is not Mr. Flawless prospect here.
No, but he's just like super high ceiling prospect, right?
Yeah, that's
what you draft at number one.
Yeah,
force of nature type guy. I hadn't thought about you. You got a Tito's toast, so that's good Tito's.
Yeah, Mark
toast
Davis
for the show today, Mark Davis. You know,
I haven't seen
gets the, more love on this show than people acknowledge.
I totally agree.
The haters want you to think it's all hate, but it's not.
And it's not his choice, but I think it'd be a pretty big kick in the old nuts for him and just Raider Nation in general if the NFC, the Niners got to win this game, but is the team at the Raiders facility?
Yeah.
During the week? That would, cuz remember there was a story, wasn't there a joint practice?
The NFC isn't the NFC, the AFC gets the Raiders facility for the Super Bowl.
Okay. Okay.
NFC, Mark, you know, NFC gets the UNLV. Yeah.
Okay. That's because remember they joint practiced and there was a lot of pushback about like Kittle wasn't allowed to use the weight room and stuff. Remember that?
But John, I mean, the Chiefs, if the Chiefs beat the Ravens, the Chiefs getting the Raiders facility is not anything the Raiders would be happy about. Like, would they rather have the Niners in there than the Chiefs?
Yeah. I mean, the Chiefs have so much. I mean, guy, the Chiefs are going to fucking championship.
So the Raiders would rather you think the Raiders would prefer that the Chiefs are in their building than the 49ers are in their building?
That's a good question. I think there's probably more envy of like, we just wish we were as good as the Chiefs. Obviously, they're your rival. There is like a deep-seated, the Niners had all the money. They had all the, just the power in the area. Yeah,
they ran us out of town.
Yeah. We couldn't financially survive. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I actually think you're right. Like, I think even though it's illogical and they're not like rivals, that there's something about the Niners that they had to stop playing preseason games against each other.
Andy Reid, when I went to the combine 3 or 4 years ago and I had Andy on the pod and I went to his room and we were BSing, Andy loved Al Davis. He's like, we used to talk. He'd just call me like every other night. I don't think Andy views the Raiders quite like I think they want everyone to view this hatred. I'm not saying he likes them and he definitely didn't like the Coliseum, but if you just got Belichick and Andy Reid, like talk about Al Davis, don't you think both of them could talk for like 10 hours about their interactions with Al Davis?
I mean,
they revere the guy.
Was it
John Gruden? Madden was like his best friend.
Who drove the bus around the stadium? Was that Gruden?
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're in theory, those two should be friends, right?
They were good buddies.
Yeah.
And then that kind of ended there. Again, it gets weird when a team's in your division.
You think it ended there?
I heard it got kind of weird after that.
Hmm. Well,
was that after a win or
was it before? I don't remember. Like, did the Raiders win there? And then I can't remember exactly what that story was.
I don't remember.
Was it before a game? Did the Raiders win there?
Under Gruden? I think they did one time. Yeah. Cause remember Henry Ruggs, I think, had a touchdown if memory serves me correct.
Okay.
Derek Carr won there one time for sure.
Okay. So that must have been the game.
Yeah.
Oh no, the Raiders were mad. Maybe the Raiders were mad that the Chiefs, somebody that they had to circle the stadium, like they weren't letting them out a certain exit, or maybe it was something like that.
Only you just don't hear that story anywhere else. It's never like, you know, the Titans, they just couldn't find a parking spot to play the Jags, and they had to circle, and there's hatred. It's like, why does that only happen, you know?
I was just talking to our buddy Jeff Schwartz. He went to the Bills Chiefs game this last weekend.
Was he outside? He's like,
yeah, outside. And he's like, you know, the thing about that stadium is it's kind of old school. It's kind of Rose Bowl. He's like that. His thing was like, I think the Bills fans are going to hate their new stadium because it's going to be pretty corporate. Like, he thought that the Bills vibe is pretty special at that stadium, which I don't know. There's not another fan base that can just, they're fucking throwing snowballs at the Chiefs players after the game. It's just kind of funny. Like, Mahomes is dodging them. What's his name? Chris Jones.
They
did
the first week. Who they play the first week, they were fucking heaving snowballs at whoever they were playing. Oh, the Steelers. I mean, they've been heaving snowballs for a while. The Dolphins.
Chris Jones is like waving by to them and dodging snowballs. And it's just like, we just accept like that's, I mean, it is. I think it's funny. I'm not beefing it. But, you know, any other fan base, and it's like, how could you almost kill Kristen Clark?
I will say this. There is, and the Coliseum had this, and Candlestick had this. I think you feel this in Lambeau, and you definitely feel it in Buffalo. There is a character to just people everywhere just sitting on wood benches, yeah. And you're just there for the purity of the game. It's less right. about like there is stuff that Levi's can't provide that Candlestick. I saw a clip. Someone, maybe it was Navarro Bowman on Instagram, was just like getting ready for the playoffs. So we did like a highlight reel from like their Saints game, you know, years ago with like Drew Brees, the one Alex Smith ran it in. And it just felt football. Like, there wasn't anything. It was a shitty old dilapidated stadium. Harbaugh, Sean Payton. It was just pure old school. Now, let's face it. I mean, the sweet side is a huge part of most of these stadiums. That just, it's just not the same, you know? It's just not. It can't be. Like, no. That's an incredible television experience. I would argue, when you factor in Mahomes, Sunday night is as good as the NFL has to offer. Like, and the football, right? Like Cowboys Niners, maybe Sunday night, second round, maybe does 5 million more people, whatever. I don't think it's quite the pure in Buffalo, the elephant in the room. Can the Bills win the game?
Yeah. Well, I actually,
in a town that would never get an NFL team in 2024, not in a million fucking years.
Caitlin Clark, not Kristen Clark. Sorry. I actually think it's kind of weird that I understand East versus West, that the Niners-Lions game is the later game this Sunday.
Well, rotate it every year.
Well, I'm just saying, like, Bills, Chiefs-Ravens feels like that game should be played at night in the cold, and that Lions-Niners should be the afternoon game, which I guess for us it is, but...
It's technically 4:30 for them, right?
What's it,
1:30, 4:30, or 1 o'clock, 4:30?
No, I think it's 12:30, 3:30.
Okay, so it's, yeah, I think
it'll AFC be nighttime,
game, but the AFC game that felt like the AFC championship game, even though the Ravens might be better than both of them, like that. That's how good that felt. Like, none of the other games to me felt like the championship game. If you told me that was a fucking, I'm watching the Super Bowl right now. The other games did not feel like that. I mean, the Niners game felt like the franchise was just holding on for dear life. You cannot lose this game. If you watch, cheers to Tito's. If you watch the reaction...
What, did you just end Campbell, the ad 12 minutes in? Is that what that was?
Addressing the team in the locker room and Kyle Shanahan addressing the team.
Yeah.
It couldn't be any more polar opposites. I mean, one team, and rightfully so, just saw a ghost, right? Mm-hmm. Their season was about to end as the number one seed. And the Lions, they didn't play a great game either, but just, we're going to the fucking NFC championship. It was jubilation and a lot of just like, thank God we didn't lose that game. Yeah. And rightfully so. Like, you celebrate it. You're glad you won. You're in the NFC championship game for the fourth time in 5 years. Incredible run right now by Kyle. It's got an Andy Reid Philadelphia feel. Hopefully he can win a Super Bowl that Andy could until he got to Kansas City. But just anyone, just go to your Instagram account, click on that locker room, and then click on Dan Campbell. There's a completely different vibe. No different than the Chiefs. Like, the Chiefs had a vibe of fucking swag. Hell yeah, we came in and won this fucking game. All these idiots bet against us. The Niners had this. Holy shit.
Well, you wonder, like, well, you just assume, I don't say I should, I just assume, but like, I expect them to look better against the Lions this week. But there's something to be said for, do you start gripping it a little too tight when you feel like this is your only shot, right? They go to the Super Bowl. if they're playing the Ravens, then for both those franchises, it's like, this is our shot.
Was it wet? Because if it's wet, you can't grip it too tight, you know?
No, unless Mark turned the sprinklers on accidentally. Right? But it should be dry, yeah. But I just think, I think the Niners are really, as a team, forget about what anybody on the outside says or, you know, media talk or whatever. Like, they understand how hard it is to get here. Did you see our boy Juice post-game, after the game, tear up?
No.
He was like, he kind of teared up because he's like, it's just so hard to get here. You know, last year we lost the NFC Championship game, and you don't get to just start back at the NFC Championship game the next year. You got to get all the way back to the NFC Championship game. And he got kind of choked up. He got emotional about it.
Look at the Eagles, a great example, right?
Yeah, you don't get that. So, like, I think these guys, I think there is pressure the 49ers feel, and I don't think it comes from us or anybody else or Ryan Clark or Lewis Riddick or any of that shit.
Well, don't they have the most of all these teams?
Yeah, but it's internal. Like, it comes from them understanding that they have not won, that they have been so close, and how many chances do you get to be this close? And they all know, like, you've heard them talk about it. This locker room's unique. This team is unique. Like, we're different. They're right. They know, like, these guys who, Trent Williams has been on other teams. He gets it. Like, you don't get a team that vibes the way they vibe. But they're only a third of the way to the Super Bowl. They've only won one game. They got to win two more to win the championship. And I think they get how hard it is and how hard it is to get back and how rare it is to have a team whose window has been open as long as this franchise's window has been open with Kyle.
Well, I'd say two things can be true. One, it's an incredible accomplishment to get to this weekend. Like, it's incredible what the Chiefs have somehow found a way back. Right? It's very, very hard. No one argues that. And the 49ers, like, I'm sorry, that the standard in which we held them, part of the reason a lot of the conversation, separate even from the quarterback, but just everyone sitting on their couch as that game was going on or being in the stands, like, I can't believe the 49ers are going to lose this game.
Yeah,
because no one thought the Niners were not going to win. I mean, they were a 10-point favorite for a reason. They were the best team in the NFC all season long. They played other top NFC teams, and they fucking housed them. And then they're playing at home, and obviously you lose a player early, and then the whole thing's out of whack. And the more and more I've thought about this, like, I am a big believer in, like, yeah, if, like, it's not the wide receiver coach's fault when the ball goes through Diggs' hands. Like, there are individual plays that need a quote unquote execution. And then there are just big picture stuff of, like, Kyle was really bad. I put that on Kyle even more than Purdy. Now, Purdy was bad because he can't grip the ball. But that's like, if you can't grip the ball, you can't play. Right? Like, it was very, very difficult for him to play throughout the game. He admitted it. So to me, Kyle's lack of refusal, and it felt like the whole game of, like, Kyle, you're going to blow this shot. Like, let's face it, Purdy, despite being in the MVP conversation, the star of the team, like, Kyle gets talked about like he might as well be a player, right? And that would have been one. Now, listen, he's 44 years old. If he had lost that game or he loses this week, it doesn't fucking write his career. It took Andy till his mid-50s, right? Like, Andy was having this same stretch in Philadelphia. And it's an incredible accomplishment to be this good consistently. But, like, the end of the day, everyone can take a huge dump on Mike McCarthy year in, year out. He goes, hey, you want to come into my office? I'll show you my Super Bowl ring. That ring was also won before Aaron Rodgers had ever won an MVP. And a year previously, people thought we were crazy when we went all in with him. John Harbaugh can go, hey, fuck, Chiefs just beat me in the AFC Championship game. Sucks. I have the MVP of the league. You guys want to come into my office, see my Super Bowl ring? Like, that is something. The more and more I think, like, when people push back against ring culture, what's the whole point of all this, right? Like, why do we watch all season for these big moments? Like, this is – it's why the Purdy conversation – like, I do understand all these people with hot takes. Like, they're going to be hot takes that come out of football – or the playoffs in college or whatever, or the NCAA tournament or baseball playoffs. It's what the whole season is for right now. And the shitty part about football is if the Niners had lost, they only got one game. It's like that incredible season would have only got one game. It would have felt like of all my years of watching football, an all-time kick in the dick. But they won. They survived in advance. I still think there are just scars the way we're all thinking about it. Like, if the 49ers beat the Lions by 15 points, you'd be like, of course, you know, they were better. But it's hard to think like that right now. Like, would you be confident putting laying the points on the 49ers going in this game right now based on what you just saw?
No, I mean, there are advantages they have that I like, but you know what I just thought of listening to you talk? Two things. One, I did a video earlier on YouTube, John, where I said, if you're tired of the Brock Purdy conversation, I think you're better off being tired of it than having it go away. Because the only way it goes away is if the 49ers and Brock Purdy go away. If the 49ers win the Super Bowl, there's going to be a lot of offseason talk about, was it because of Brock? Was it because of... And the reality is, like, that's a gift. The Niners, it would be a gift for Brock Purdy to be the center of the offseason spotlight. People trying to figure out, well, is he going to be worth $150 million? Because you know when they don't have that conversation? When you get beat and never get to the Super Bowl with him. But what you just made me think about was the clip of Steve Young, after the famous clip of Steve Young, right? Where Gary Plummer comes over after they win a Super Bowl and takes the monkey off his back because Steve had this dark cloud hanging over his head. Steve had rings. Somebody else won him, though. He was the backup quarterback on that team, right? The Joe Montana teams.
And Steve, I think in like 91, I'm pretty sure he won the MVP like the first year, either Joe left or the year Joe was legitimately hurt and didn't play. Like, Steve had been proving himself to, like, no one was arguing Steve wasn't legit. He just wasn't Joe Montana, right?
But isn't,
and couldn't beat the Cowboys. But in a vacuum, I would guess if we went, it was hard. I mean, it was more segregated in the sense of, like, radio. You wouldn't have been able to find everyone's opinions. Steve was a much better player, right, than Purdy.
I'm not talking about Purdy, though. I'm talking about Kyle. Like, to me, Kyle is in the same position as Steve was, where he's got this thing where everyone goes like, yeah, that's he's if Kyle were a quarterback, he'd be an MVP level quarterback, just like Steve was. Right. But he's had these two close calls. And the fact that he lost as the OC is part of his resume and it's part of the weight on him. And then you lose to Kansas City with the lead. And that's part of the weight on him. Like, I think Kyle's
he'd be like Josh Allen right now. Like, he's clearly an awesome coach, but for whatever reason, he just hasn't.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kyle's better than Josh Allen, relative. Like, I think if Kyle were a quarterback, he'd be better than Josh Allen. But sure, I mean, we could split hairs over it.
I think Josh Allen's pretty fucking good.
Well, so do I. He's a top three quarterback. I'm not anti-Josh Allen. I think Kyle's better at what he does than, but whatever. The point is, like, yeah, pick any of those guys. But I think the difference between Josh and even like Steve is it felt like you were kind of running out of time with Steve. Like, how many chances are you going to get? And Kyle, while he's only 44, how many teams like this are you? How many teams? Maybe you'll just build a team like this every 3-4 years.
We just keep rotating seventh round quarterbacks.
Yeah, maybe it'll be fine. Seventh round quarterback throwing the seventh round receiver, Juwan Jennings. But that's not, we all watched long enough to know. It's usually not how it works unless you have found your quarterback and then your quarterback opens up your window for an extended period. So I don't think it affects the way he coaches anything like that, but it would have been a really bad offseason for Kyle. I think that we don't have to keep talking about this. We can look ahead to the Lions game,
he's a touchdown favorite against Dan Campbell. I think the pressure just kind of, you know, it's like when you tie a hole in golf and it just carries over. Like, yeah. I just think it carries over to this game. You get a little bit of a, if you lose the Ravens or Mahomes, it would suck. But like, though that you can't lose this week. You can't lose.
Well, John, said this at the beginning. There was not a team in the NFC playoffs that they could lose to and it wouldn't be a disaster. Detroit's like the second, third best team in the NFC all year long. And it's like losing to Dallas at home wouldn't be acceptable. Losing to Philly at home wouldn't have been acceptable. Losing to the Rams at home wouldn't have been. But you're right. This is like, you'd be all right, McVay, Stafford, Goff, Ben Johnson. Maybe Ben Johnson will turn out to be a superstar head coach. But right now, can you lose to Goff and Dan Campbell at home? No, you can't.
No, you can't. And I think the scary thing is like, they have, obviously their corners absolutely suck. But they do have a lot of good players in a lot of positions. And one major issue right now for the 49ers is they're paying a shitload of money to a lot of guys that are in that defensive line room. And that defensive line is just not living up to the billing. Now, Armstead's old and hurt. Chase Young is just, I'm not saying they would like a redo on that trade, but I wonder, like, is there another guy that they could have got? Like, he's just kind of been underwhelming, right? No, they didn't. It's not like, they didn't give up the high second round pick. So they gave up a third round pick that was a freebie. But still, like, they traded for him to have him have an impact, and he just doesn't have an impact. Like, it's just Bosa. Well,
Randy Gregory, another one, right? There's a reason both those guys were available for cheap or nothing in the case of Randy. So I think Armstead.
You don't get part of like why they beat the shit out of Goff was they used to pepper his ass. And the Rams offensive line for a lot of that stretch, beside Whitworth, wouldn't you agree, is dramatically worse than this group, which now the center's banged up, but their two tackles are really good.
Yeah.
So like, do you expect Chase Young to be in the backfield a lot? Because I don't, you know? So it's like, can you get interior pressure? Well, Armstead's missed majority of the season because his lower body's fucked up. And Hargrave, good player, but it's, even when Hargrave has a good game, he makes a couple plays. You don't feel him like all game long, like he's John
Randall.
Well,
he's not plugging.
No. And the other thing, they can run, so they can just slow down the game a little bit.
Yeah, I think Armstead was good the other day.
Run defense is terrible right now.
The question on Armstead is, can he be that good? That was him on 6 weeks of rest. Can he be that good again now 7 days later, right? I think that's the question with him. Like, I think he was good, but he had 6 weeks to heal before that game. Does he have that again in him? I don't know. Now, I do think Goff, like, I think you named it right there, their ability to run the ball. I think you can get pressure on Jared. What scares me, if we had to rank Lions that scare me, do you have one in your head?
Well, Hutchinson against McKivitz is a problem.
Except I don't think they really – I don't think they're great anywhere else on their pass rush. So I think you can help McKivitz out and survive. I'd put Amon Ross St. Brown number one on my list.
I'm pretty sure they had the top run defense in the NFL. Like, them against the run. Now, C.J. Gardner's back, that I kind of did the I'll paint you a red on site boy. One of those kind of to Debo.
Yeah.
Their run defense is really good. So one thing we've seen is now maybe Kyle will just want to spread it out all night again. But if you can take away the run a little bit, it can throw Kyle off because a lot of their offense is predicated on these play action stuff. So, like, what if it's just harder to run against some of these other teams that they've played? Again, based on statistically, they've had a fantastic run defense.
They have.
So I would say the other thing is, it feels like Jared Goff, I don't have the analytics in front of me, they can get rid of the ball pretty quick. Like you said, St. Brown.
He's top five time to throw.
Tight ends. Both running backs can catch. Obviously, Gibbs is like, just a fantastic. You could argue they had one of the great drafts of all time. I mean, Gibbs looks like a star. Laporta is a star. That Branch kid they draft in the second round from Alabama is fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
He's kind of like the hybrid defensive DB player who I
heard. Rams kind of went at him.
Who?
Rams.
Yeah, but I mean, he just makes – Puka – Niners can't cover Puka Nacua either. Like, no.
Well, the Rams can't – John, Jeff Schwartz just gave me this stat. Lions have given up 140 receiving yards to one player in five straight games.
Their corners suck.
Well, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, they don't tackle
like
either.
Worst corner.
They don't cover and they don't tackle. Like, they are yak machines waiting to happen, these DBs for the Lions.
C.J. just came back, right, a couple weeks ago. He'd been out. He had been out week two. He tore his pec, and then he came back, I think, in the playoffs for the last game of the season.
Yeah, well.
But did he play in the Rams game?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
because he missed the tackle. He tried to shoulder tackle Puka on the first touchdown of the game.
I thought he looked pretty good against the Bucs. I mean, he is just a physical tackler. He's not really a cover guy. I mean, their corners, absolutely.
But I think if you try to be a hitter against the Niners, then you're going to miss tackles. Like, he tries to be a hitter for a guy that's not huge. It's weird.
Was Debo playing?
Yeah. What do you think?
We'll find out maybe tomorrow.
Feels like he's getting a shot, but I just think
about the Rams. Like, they are. When you watch them, they are just a physical football team. You know,
The Lions or the Rams?
Yeah, or excuse me, the Rams are too. It's why that game was so good. They're just the Lions are. They shouldn't be as good as the Niners. Like, they deserve to be the underdog, but I think their mentality is a lot like the Niners. They have a lot of similarities of a couple years ago when the Niners had no DBs. This is the year before they got Ward, a little like that. And they still had Bosa. Now, McCaffrey wasn't on the team. It'd be like if that team would have had McCaffrey, but their DBs were so shitty. And when I say DB, I'm talking the corners are awful. I mean, I think statistically Sutton has been one of the worst players in the National Football League. But then I go, well, it's like okay, well, the Lions feel like they got receivers everywhere, and I'm watching Ambry Thomas spin around like a dreidel every play.
Nice reference.
Wow.
Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game. And I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause, you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men age 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. Code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. Oh, the places ground beef from Butcher Box can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about ButcherBox for years. High quality cuts of meat, amazing value. Find high quality seafood as well that you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you, the listener, free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code HAM to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham, code HAM.
Have I told you recently about our good friends at Game Time? Here's the deal. Go to your smartphone, go to your iPad, download a little app called Game Time, the fastest growing ticketing app in America. You can go to any event, sporting events, college or pro, concerts, comedy shows. Just download that Game Time app. You want to go to a Giants game? Bob Melvin back in the Bay Area. Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, they've loaded up the squad. If you want to go watch the Giants play, Steph Curry making a little playoff run. Concerts all summer long. Want to go watch something at Chase Center? Want to go watch something wherever you live? A concert, get outside, enjoy yourself. Use the promo code HAM for $20 off. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code HAM for your first purchase for $20 off your first pair of tickets.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Yeah, I mean, they got a lot of guys. Josh Reynolds had a really good game.
He's a good
against
player.
Against the Rams. Jameson Williams is dangerous. Laporta. Is Ertz going to play?
I think their backup tight end in that game, he clearly got hurt because then the third stringer was in plays.
I think he's out.
He had a bad injury.
I think so. That's why they signed Ertz.
I always love, and this is a classic, like, lineman. You know, like, you've had a guy, especially if you've been a shitty team ever, it's like, you'd have to cut off my leg to get me out of, like, Ragnow hurts his ankle. He's like, if you think I was on these fucking teams 5 years ago and I'm coming out of this game, you're on crack. Jared Goff, like, falls on him, shatters his ankle. He's, like, limping around. He's still blocking. He's blocking Vita Vea. I have a lot of respect for just linemen, you know?
Yeah. They don't get a lot of credit. They don't get a lot of love.
Especially a center.
Sutton gave up 7 of 10 passes in the Bucs game. 10 targets, 7 completions against him.
Yeah, he's bad. I'm not sure he'll win this game. I mean, it's just, there's no way around a loss in this game is devastating. Now, I also try not to overreact to what we saw last week. A little weird. It's not supposed to rain. I mean, that's an elephant in the room. The kid can't throw with rain, right? I've seen so much pushback.
But it's not an elephant in the room if it's not raining this week. Like, it's not an elephant in the room. It's like a real debate about Brock Purdy for their next rain game or for his future as their quarterback. But it's not, if it doesn't rain this week, which doesn't look
like it. It's a disaster. Like, he's excellent when there's just normal conditions.
Well, hopefully for them, it's a disaster with a ring on it, you know?
Yeah, but I don't ever remember a quarterback being that can't grip the ball.
He made some really good throws on the last drive. I think they did a poor job preparing him. Like, I always make fun of the video, them spraying water on the ball as the guy snaps it, but they didn't do any of that. He came out there with a glove. He wasn't ready to throw in the rain. That's not acceptable.
No. I put it more on Kyle than him, and he was bad. But, like, Kyle, you got to coach around that. Like, stop calling those plays. And even they admitted, like, yeah, Debo's heavy in the game plan. You know, Juwan had to step up. If that's the case, then that you're running the wrong play.
They did run the wrong play. They handed it to Juwan.
But they're calling the plays like you should get scrapped. Like, that's one of those, you take the Sharpie once Debo, it's like, oh, he's out. He's in a sweatshirt standing next to me. That gets a Sharpie between
them. So apparently, I heard Barrows explain it on the podcast with Kawakami, Niners plus minus. I guess that word, hezi, means run. So they just didn't take that play. So whatever, he says play 19, it says hezi, whatever. They didn't take that out, which to me is crazy when it's the first play of the second half. Like, don't you go over the scripted second half plays or whatever? So that's
he
not
does.
Acceptable.
He writes some, but, doesn't he write the first 10 on the board?
The second part to me, John, is
we're going to go hezi to Debo. And Debo's like, Kyle, I'm here in a fucking Niners sweatshirt here, buddy.
It shows you how, I don't want to say blindly they do whatever Kyle says, which I guess on one hand is great for the general. But at some point, you know, if Brock's a fifth-year starter or a 12th-year starter, does he go, Kyle, that can't be fucking right, man. I'm not running that play. I love Juwan. I believe in Juwan as much as the next guy. But What are we setting up here? I know we're not supposed to ask why. Everybody hated Josh Rosen for asking why. But just real quick, why? Are we sure?
It makes no sense. And that's what scares you about, like, if the game's a little off. Because I've seen a lot of this, like, don't they deserve a lot of credit for coming back? I mean, kind of. You know, and obviously it's the NFL, it's the second round, the Packers have good players, games can be hard. But it was the way we got there. It'd be one thing if it was going blow for blow, missed a couple tackles, so that's the reason. But it was like, you just looked terrible. And the play calling, it didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense. Part of being the general is like General Schwarzkopf running Desert Swarm. Well, if one side where he was going to swarm, they figured out last minute had a cliff and all the tanks would have fallen off, he'd probably have to change on the fly. Kyle's like, nope, we're going. Storm the cliff. It's like, well, Kyle, they're all going to drive off the cliff and all the men are going to die. He's like, I feel a couple will make it. It's like part of what makes Kyle so like such a frustrating boy genius is anyone that's watched him long enough to know he's fucking big time. But like something like that of we've seen a couple examples this year when it gets a little like it's just not going as planned. He's not willing to like just settle it down. He's like, I got these plays. I know they're going to work. It's like, well, Debo is not around. And obviously he's one of the most versatile players in the NFL. So you can do all these things with him. You probably feel great coming into a game plan with him. But if I just remove him, the other thing is you don't have like a new team, right? I understand like if you're LaFleur, youngest offense in the league, it'd be hard maybe to adapt on the fly, something major. Like how, you could be calling plays from like 3 fucking years ago. You have the same group of guys. Like all these guys have been starting forever. And Juszczyk and Kittle can like coach guys up on the fly if you need to do that, which you don't really. But if you do, like you got enough of the core guys that you could adapt on the fly. That's just what makes me nervous about these next two games. If it gets tight, like, is Kyle willing to be like, I got to scrap what I just spent 90 hours last week doing? And he's proven he won't.
Well, that's why I don't think everything about Brock can be negative coming out of that game, because he was shaken. They were shaken. His coach was off his game.
Well, he just can't play in the rain. Like, that's just a fact. And that's just his problem.
And he still settled down and was calm in a game winning situation. Like, you don't get to win championships without almost losing games usually. And you have to be calm in clutch spots. And he was, like, watching that drive again today, the all 22, like, he was really calm. He was very calm, which, you know, you can't ignore the fact that he was bad in the rain, and you can't ignore the fact that with everything going wrong in their season on the line, he was very under control. He was very in control on that last drive. Like, he made that throw to Conley look like it was practice. So, you know, I think you got to acknowledge that he struggled in the rain and then also go, but it's not raining the next 2 weeks. So if you got to have a game-winning drive, this guy might be able to do it for you. Against the Lions or against the Chiefs or against the Ravens, you know, to me, as it relates to this postseason run, that has to be the most immediate story coming out of that game. Cause the whole thing was off. And
I just don't understand some of the comments, not even talking about the chat, but just in general of people like, how could anybody watch that game? Like, you get credit for being calm, but I don't think anyone ever questioned like his moxie and his calmness. Like,
but he actually made the throws. Like, he wasn't just calm. Like, he made the throws on that last drive.
But he's made the throws all season long. That's why he's a starter in the Pro Bowl or whatever, right? I mean, he's had an excellent season.
I mean, yeah, but doing it on...
It was one of the most glaring experiences I've ever witnessed as a football fan.
Oh, yeah, but I'm not denying that. But I'm also saying, like, when you have that game and you still then in the... with your season on, it's one thing to do it against the Falcons week 7 when you're like front
runner. They didn't do it against the Falcons. They've never done it.
Right? No. I'm just saying, you said he's been making those throws all year. I'm like, okay, whatever. Great. But he hasn't done it right here in this spot when you're having one of the worst games of your career in the brightest lights and Debo's gone and no one's exactly sure what to do when you make those throws. Like, to me, that is the story, because that's more important in the next 3 weeks to win the Super Bowl than whether or not he can throw in the rain, because it's not going to rain.
But we don't know that. I mean, it changes, right?
Okay, if it rains, then that's... I'm just saying, like, that is the thing. Him throwing in the rain is a thing for the big picture. It's probably... could be wrong, but it's probably not a thing this week. And it's definitely not a thing in the, if you get to the Super Bowl, right? So then the question becomes like, well, what is he?
Mark Davis is only like, open the roof.
What if Mark did do that? Can they? No, it's not retractable, is it? Mark slides in the field from it, let it rain all night on that field and then rolls in. You know, the field's outside.
Yeah.
Let it roll in. Run the ball, Kyle. Super chat says the rain for Purdy must be psychological to a large degree. On the last drive, he was signaling he was slinging the pill around fine and it was pouring, right? But the people who were there said it didn't on the broadcast too. I don't think it started pouring till the Packers got the ball in that last drive. I don't think it was pouring on the Niners last drive. Was it? Did you think it was?
No.
Jonas gives us 20 rubies. Says, I don't understand the narrative. Packers didn't lose the game. Loved it. He had four drives up, 21-14. He was 6 of 12, 30 yards, two picks, missed field goal, and went 1 for 2 for 0 yards. As bad as Purdy was, he outplayed Love. Love had 19 passing yards, I think, in the fourth quarter. You know, I mean, Love clearly has the physical traits. I don't know if he's got late game calm. We'll find out one day because he's going to be their quarterback for a decade, though. I think that's going to be the case for him.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I think we get very fast to anoint things.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he's got to do it again next year. The other thing is Love wasn't a 10-point favorite and fucking in the MVP till 2 weeks ago. Right. So you and I agree, like we weren't comparing him to Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. But when you're talked about at the MVP of the league, you are just kind of in that class, fair mm-hmm. or not.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Love wasn't. So like this comparison to Jordan Love, like they were an enormous favorite. They're supposed to beat the shit out of this team. And that's where I think that there's no narrative. Like that's the other thing. The narrative. We watched the game. He was fucking atrocious until the last drive. He was really good. Throughout that game, made a couple nice plays. Even Steve Young, I saw him on Rich Eisen, was like, yeah, it was crazy, man. Balls everywhere.
Yeah, I saw that too.
There's no narrative. Why are these people keep saying that? Like, we all watched the same game. It was bad. There's nothing wrong with saying that. The final drive, two good throws, big time. Why do people keep pushing? That Ryan Clark and those conversations are separate from the game was bad. Even he acknowledged that. Who are these people? Are these the same people that thought that he shouldn't start in training camp and that fucking Trey Lance? Like, who are these humans? I don't get it, but they exist because I see them everywhere. It's fucking driving me nuts.
I know. That's what I'm trying to get us. That's why I just want to talk about the Lions.
I know, but this is like the biggest conversation in the sport right now.
We've had it. We're having it. We can keep having it. But I just keep going back to like, do you think he's not good enough to beat the Lions or the Ravens or the Chiefs? Because that's what matters today, right? And I think you'd be crazy.
I'm nervous.
I think you'd be crazy not to bookmark Brock in the rain. Let's come back to that, right? Now, you know, he's been in the league 2 years. If he keeps getting better, there is a level of play you can be good enough where you just have to accept a person's flaws and hope they don't end up in certain situations.
You don't max those guys out, though. You know, that's the thing. Like, that's a bigger picture.
Yeah, I mean, but you also get put in that, right? It's not black and white. Like, you get painted into corners with, all right, who's our quarterback? What are our other options? How much does it cost?
They tried to get Tom Brady last year. He wouldn't come out of retirement.
Yeah.
I mean, there are other things with this team, like, and this is why he's such a polarizing guy. They had a quarterback who was flawed that they kicked to the curb in Jimmy Garoppolo. Then they invested a historical amount. No one had ever made a trade of that level of draft capital. And by week one, year three, the guy was on a different team in sweats as the technically a helmet because you can dress a third string quarterback, but it was a third stringer going into year three. So this team isn't exactly like, you know, when Andy gets a guy, he sticks with him for a while. This is like everything's on the table at all times, no matter what we've seen it firsthand. So as things get weird to this game, like you don't beat them. It's like, I just feel everything's on the table now. And I didn't feel that way 2 weeks ago. That's what makes football the number one sport right now. It's like all the substance stuff of play. I saw Florio writing like, if the Eagles wanted to get out of Jalen Hurts, it's very easy to trade him. You're like, eh, I mean, what's the deal? You know, would they have conversations? Maybe. It's real because it's like, yeah, you might think about it. I'm not advocating kick the kid to the curb. I'm not advocating that he wasn't really good. But that was a glaring situation. And now the pressure, again, you are enormous favorites. This isn't like if Lamar loses some gut-wrenching games to the Chiefs, you're like, fuck. Andy Mahomes or this version, this, you know, the 2020 version of Belichick and Brady, you tip your hat. It sucks, but that loss ages pretty well. Like, ultimately, Josh Allen and Sean McDermott, they've lost 3 or 4 years to Andy and Mahomes. It's not, you're not losing year in, year out to fucking McDaniel and Tua and all these random guys. You're losing to the best of the best. You're just not allowed to lose to LaFleur and Love or Goff and Dan Campbell as huge favorites when you have the better team at home without getting absolutely shit on. I mean, you think it's bad? I mean, this is a conversation after a win. Like, it would have been 100 times worse. It would have been cowboy level talk because it would have been the number one story, right beside the other two quarterbacks on Sunday night. And it's just kind of lingering now because, like, what we just witnessed, you know, because they have some flaws. Like, they can't stop the run. Their pass rush is nowhere to be found. The quarterback, like, maybe he's fine if there's no rain. But maybe he's not.
Yeah, but he could have thrown for 4 touchdowns, 300 yards, and if he loses to the Lions this week, it's the same guy.
I would say if he plays really well and they lose, yeah, I think the conversation, he throws 4 touchdowns, 300 yards, it'd be hard to shit on the guy.
Yeah, I just, what world does he play well, they lose?
Well, they don't. When he plays well, they win.
So I'm just saying, because they keep playing, he's going to be judged for this offseason really on how it ends. And he's lucky it didn't end the way it just ended, because everything you just said is a preview of what this offseason will be if they lose to the Lions, just like it would have been that if they lost to the Packers. Like, are we sure? We spent this whole season kind of sure. Are we sure they got their guy? So I agree with you. That's real. But he gets the chance now against Detroit to take him to the Super Bowl. And if he does that and then they go to the Super Bowl, they win the Super Bowl, then all that stuff goes away until maybe they play in a rain game again. And then we find out.
All these people in the chat talking about being the favorite, I should probably turn the chat off. Like, it's one thing about being like a 2-point. They are enormous favorites to win the NFC, to win all these games.
I don't need the gambling line to tell me that, though.
No one does. Like, everyone acknowledged, my mom, like, everyone talking about it, like, the Niners are the best team. Whether you fucking work at DraftKings or whether you just watch football, like, enormous favorites. This is one of those situations where the wide margin. This isn't, you know,
But John, this isn't new. I guess I'm agreeing with you. I shouldn't say, but this isn't new because of the Packer game. I've been saying this for weeks. There is no scenario in which you lose before the Super Bowl and it doesn't feel like anything except a complete stomach punch. It can also only be bad.
People acting like I'm negative Nancy or a skeptic. I just watched the game on Saturday with every other human being. How's anyone else's reaction of like, Jesus, we're fucking ready. Let's roll. I mean, you'd have to be a little rattled. I mean, holy fuck. Are we not living in the same world? Am I often in La La Land? I don't know. I've just watched every football game of the entire season of like every team. I'm sorry that I don't feel great about what I just witnessed. Defensively, they're supposed to be a great defensive team, and they're getting shredded.
Well, this is what I'm trying to get at, which is rank their concerns. I'd put Brock well below offensive line, defense against the run, defense against the pass, kicker, Debo's health, like their ability to run offense without Debo. Brock is like, I don't like, to me, all this stuff that we're saying about the Packer game, fully legitimate for the big picture, Brock Purdy in the rain. In terms of beating the Lions, like, it's not my top five issues with it.
Now,
if you told me it was going to be pouring rain, it would be, but it's not.
I'll give you one. We had, they get week 18 off, rightfully so. I'm all for it. Then obviously you get the bye. And then after the first series, as Debo is injured, they scan to a guy that was also in the MVP conversation, and he's getting massaged on his leg. You're like, Jesus Christ. Like, that's been so, like, he's clearly not 100%. They can push back on it all they want. Like, I don't think he's just getting some extra masseuse during the game. Like, he's dealt with some calf, hammy, whatever. I don't know exactly what. They're kind of pretty good at keeping that mum. But I would say Christian, you know, clearly deals with something. And he's an incredible player even with it because he's dominated all season long. But he hasn't been, you know, like, I have full faith, like, Juszczyk, Kittle, Trent Williams, none of those guys crossed my mind of worries, right? But like Debo, I kind of assume he's out till he's in. McCaffrey, like at any moment we could go to the sideline, he can be banged up. The interior of their run defense is like there's just gaping holes
against a good running team.
The other DBs, not named Charvarius, have just really struggled of late. So they just got some fair flaws. Again, they are a massive favorite for a reason.
What are they doing at safety? Logan Ryan played every snap. Jair Brown was active, didn't play on special teams either. Barrows said that Jair Brown thought he was going to be the one playing that game. Is he going to suddenly play this week against Detroit? And to me, the biggest issue is like, well, if you're not going to get pressure on Goff and you're not going to cover, Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to be wide fucking open nonstop. Like nonstop. Like I said earlier, I was trying to think, like he reminds me the most of like those Seahawks era, like the good Seahawks teams where it's like you get a false start, third and 10 is third and 15. And you're like, okay, now we got Seattle in a good spot. And then all of a sudden, Golden Tate is just running wide ass open over the middle somehow after Russell Wilson buys some time. And that's what watching Amon-Ra St. Brown is like third and 20, quarterback gets out of some pressure. He just gets himself open. And he, to me, is number one on the list. Like, if you tell me Amon-Ra St. Brown has three catches, I go, ball game, Niners win. If you tell me he's got nine, that's scary. Because I just think he represents to me the weakness of the pass rush not getting home and the secondary having to cover. Like those, you know, we talk about marrying the run and the pass. Like marrying the pass rush and the coverage against Amon-Ra St. Brown is a big problem, I think.
Well, I know if I was the Lions, what I would do is I would test his lower extremities because he's battled some and have the young dude from Bama, what's his name, Jameson Williams. I'd run a couple go routes just to get Charvarius running, right? And I would never waste St. Brown on that side because he's obviously he's just a good player. But like he's been hit on a couple gold balls this year. That would be St. Brown would be on the other side all night long. And you can try to match up Lenore, Ambry, however you want to do it, bunch sets, and just like figure it out. But I would never waste him on the other side. Every time you do that, it's a waste of a snap. I honestly, watching the game against the Packers, like, and they did hit one on the play where Ward slipped, but I always feel like when you're playing the Niners, and especially when the other guy gets kind of out of whack early, any snap you waste to his side, it doesn't mean you won't hit some, but like I would just attack relentlessly to the other side.
You and could put him
not getting
you could
home. Put him on six pressures. Bose had five.
You could put him on Ambry. Just go balls, Jameson Williams. You could put him over there just for the pass interference,
which you know feels inevitable.
But it does.
The Lions are going to do that too.
But the Lions, to me, like watching the Packers, watching the Lions are kind of like the Packers, but with more established offensive weapons. Like all their guys are just more established versions, other than the running backs, of what the Packers have, right? Like all their receivers, their tight ends, the Lions just have more established versions of those dudes. Middlecoff, don't be surprised at Kyle's tunnel vision for the pass. Isn't it the same MO that gave him an all-time comeback, having given up an all-time comeback in Super Bowl 51?
But isn't part of being a coach, especially a younger coach, he's 44 years old now. This is his whatever fourth go around at the highest level. Wouldn't you just learn and adapt from it? Like I understand having a bad moment in your first year in the bright lights as the head coach, because no assistant ever gets shit on for a game that he wasn't the head coach like Kyle does in Atlanta. Like no one gets a bigger pass than Dan Quinn in the history of pro sports. It'd be like, God, remember that one time Michael hit the shot? Can you believe the assistant on the Phoenix Suns ran that coverage? Like, what? No one talks about that. I think it's unfair. But, like, he's many years in now that you would think he'd be a little more flexible.
The Suns defensive coordinator?
Andy battled it forever, but.
Yeah. Flav says, why do you guys think, were you about to say something?
Yeah, I think I picked the wrong one. I saw the game too, John, and it's incomprehensible to me feeling better about Love than Purdy. One literally threw the game away and the other won it. Where's this like we're loving on Jordan Love acting like he's the next Aaron Rodgers? We're talking about Brock Purdy. Jordan Love's irrelevant to this conversation. Why does Jordan Love keep coming up? Who gives a fuck? We're talking about Brock. This, I don't care about the Packers. This was about him against their defense. Jordan Love's throwing picks to Dre Greenlaw. Who cares? That's not the conversation. We're talking about Brock. Yeah, the team won because Dre's getting a couple picks, right? The other notion of like, here's where I do agree with the PFF analytical community. Interceptions can be a little random because Brock fucking threw one right in the guy's hands that he would have walked in the end zone. The dude dropped it. So it's like, that's just an incompletion. Like, let's face it, that he's had some picks this year that just get dropped. Like, there's a little randomness to that. But this Jordan Love comparing him to Jordan Love.
Well, but I think that comes from saying Jordan Love, would you rather have Jordan Love than Brock Purdy, right? Like, that conversation was one of the conversations that came out of that game. Like, who's got a brighter future?
That's a fair conversation to have, but like,
I'm just saying that's where that reaction comes from. I don't think it comes out of the clear blue.
Yeah, if all things are equal, I'll always take the guy with the bigger arm. I mean, every single day of the week, that'll never change in my entire life, right? So if this guy's going to be Drew Brees and he's going to be Aaron Rodgers, they both have one ring. I'll take the Aaron Rodgers version over the Drew Brees version. Like, I always will. But yeah, I don't know if Jordan Love's going to sustain. Jordan Love has played less than Brock Purdy. I don't know. He might.
Brock Purdy is trying to be the exception to the rule. Jordan Love isn't because of his arm, because of his size.
I would say both guys, though. I mean, most quarterbacks just aren't 10-year starters, right? You're just an outlier if you're just your team starter for several contracts. Like, that guy in general is kind of an outlier.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, I think you would just, like, if we just looked at the quarterbacks,
there have been more Jordan Loves than Brock Purdy's.
Far more.
Yeah. Way more.
And the one thing you never know about guys until it takes 3, 4, 5 years, for the most part, is like, can you handle game-winning drives? Can you handle, having the whole team rely on you with 2 minutes left? Can you handle defenses adjusting to you? Right. We got to see Brock Purdy after defensive coordinators had an offseason to prepare for him. He looked just as good, if not better. We're about to see what is Jordan Love after 1 year being a starter and everyone gets to adjust to him. We're about to find out. We don't know.
Exactly. To be a great player is about doing it for 8 straight years.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
Or just even if you become a good, like, part of what made Cousins, listen, you got to tip your hat to him. Like, he had like 7 straight years of just doing every single year. He's pretty good. Even Dak, who shits the bed in the big moments, every year, you know, you're getting a guy that you can win 12 games with, right?
I'm exactly talking every 12. Year.
Exactly 12.
No more.
Both
no
guys.
Less.
I love everything about Brock except his arm strength, which it can just rattle me in a moment. Cause this is like in these playoff games, not everyone's going to be at home. And honestly, we've seen some 49er games now in our lifetime, the Harbaugh game, driving rainstorm. What was the undoing of that game with Alex Smith? Couldn't complete a third down. And Eli just has a way better arm. And that was kind of the difference in that game. Arm strength. And Eli was getting peppered. But that was a driving rainstorm. I would imagine that rain at Candlestick would have also been raining in Santa Clara. So even if you get home games, there's no guarantee in January that it's not going to rain. And then obviously, depending on who you play, Philadelphia, let's say the Giants get good. Obviously, the Packers. You can play in some weather games. It's not unavoidable. It was just a glaring experience for me as someone who roots for him and has defended him as strongly as you can defend him up to a point. Like, I won't cross the Mahomes Allen line, but no one did.
Yeah.
It's a glaring experience that you don't forget. But Peyton Manning wasn't.
And if they lost the game, that would be the most important thing right now.
Exactly.
But he also played a bad game against the Ravens when it wasn't raining. Now, he made a lot of good throws. I've said since that game, he made a lot of really good throws in that game. So, like, that was their other, most watched game. That's part of this. His last two massive games were the Ravens game and the Packer game. So, that he's also trying to answer.
To me, the Ravens game doesn't even come up. It was more like, I just go back to the Browns game when the weather, like, not being able to play in the weather is a problem, big picture. Like,
correct. But this year, Sunday, like right now, with 2 weeks left, maybe, hopefully, 3 weeks, the Ravens game is the one. Like, can you play the Ravens again? Right? Like, that might, that tell you what, if the Ravens and the Niners both win on Sunday, that is what we're spending 2 weeks talking about. Like, did the Ravens expose him? Did the Ravens have his number? Right? I mean, is that your number one topic for 2 weeks? It's one of them. What are you looking at?
I mean, the chat is just...
Which one? I only get the super chats up right now, John. Pay money, get my attention. Ish says 20-5, 3-1 in the playoffs, second year, but wouldn't put 10K on Purdy to be the Niner quarterback in 6 years. And Stroud and Love are franchise QBs with even weaker resumes. Are you that much of a size queen?
What are we talking? This is just, you know, so stupid.
I mean, if you
this conversation, some of these conversations are just, it feels like caller, like radio. This is sports talk radio going right now. Like,
well, if you made all three of them available to the league, Stroud would get drafted first of that group.
Who are CJ Stroud, Purdy?
Love, Stroud, Purdy. Does Brock go third in that? If you drafted those three guys to the league,
to even bring up CJ Stroud, the guy was just drafted second overall and had the greatest rookie season. And it's clearly just what are we talking about? Also, why do we keep comparing to Love? I just said the Packers. We said this the other day, the Packers wouldn't trade Love straight up for Purdy. Kyle probably wouldn't trade Purdy straight up for Love.
Kyle can't overthink the game plan here to start the game. See, this, I think this is like the Lions are susceptible against the pass. They're good against the run. Does Kyle basically roll back the Packers game plan and just throw the ball?
I mean, after last week, who knows? This is well put. Where'd that go? Chad feels like he did in the preseason with Trey Lance. Hilarious. I agree. This is a low-level experience. I was expecting more from the people.
Irvin said Aikman couldn't throw in the rain, but we play in Santa Clara. They play in a dome. Entire team played bad, not just Brock. Defenders falling down, penalties, bad special teams, questionable play calls. Maybe it was preparation. And so Kyle should take responsibility as well. This is what I keep going back to.
That's not really his MO, you know.
I think their whole team did not look like they're about to win a championship. I don't think it was just about Brock in the rain, because they thought they were going to roll out after 16 days off and just be sweet. And they weren't. Right. Like to me, if it was eye opening for Brock, it was eye opening for the whole group.
Was I open for all of us? I was fully confident. I was expecting an ass kick.
I'm talking about
so was everyone commenting. We're expecting a nice, easy 15-point butt whooping.
Right.
Butt whooping. Hell, you're allowed to have a bad half. Let's use the Ravens, the two number one seeds. They were tied at 10. Like, God, this is weird. What'd they do? They fucking housed them in the second half. 24 straight points, but it felt like 50 to nothing. So I was like, okay, slow start. You're allowed to have slow starts. It's football. But they'll hang on till the end. Just rattle my confidence.
Yeah. I was surprised. I saw somebody post, maybe it was Dubow, said like one of the early bet, one of the early lines would have the Niners favorite against the Ravens. Stop looking at the comments. Look at you. I can see you.
Well, I can't help it.
Just trying to have a conversation here.
I thought we had a... I'm not going to talk shit about the people, but, you know.
You thought, Did you see Lewis Riddick get angry today on TV?
No.
Your boy, Lewis?
Angry about what?
He was defending Purdy today. And not defending Josh Allen. All right, here's a good comment that takes us back to the game. I thought this game, I think this game will be about Campbell's aggressiveness versus Kyle's conservativeness. I think I didn't mention this. I'm glad this comment came up. John, part of the issue with playing Detroit is that they really make you work on defense. They go for, they've attempted the third most fourth downs in the NFL this year. They had, now the good news, you're at home. They got the Rams to jump on a 4th-and-5 in Detroit. I don't know what have you, I haven't seen any like the ticketing apps, but it'll be, you know, the NFC game that the Lions game last week was more expensive than the Niner game, I think, which you don't usually see that. But Detroit's just so starved for a good football team that, like, you know, everybody's showing up for the games. I don't know how many, if there'll be any Lions fans in attendance this week, but even though Goff, I don't think himself can beat you as a team, I think they really put pressure on you. And if you come into this game, if the Niners come in a little tight, I think Detroit can kind of create some cracks, some pressure cracks, because of the way you have to play them. Like, it's uber aggressive, Dan Campbell, right?
Well, he goes for it all the time. I mean, he went for it in the Cowboy game on when they fucked up that play on the 7-yard line, 2-point conversion, which was insanity. But to me, that does represent the guy. Yeah. He's all in on that. And he said from the moment he got the job, he said, the number one thing I learned from Sean Payton was at my core, I wanted to be Bill Parcells because that's where I learned football and to be pretty old school. And I learned you can't be like that in this modern day NFL. And Kyle battles with that. Like, Kyle does not have a strategy. You have no clue what's coming at any moment. I mean, it's like, oh, he's going for a 4th and 3. Or it's like, oh, he's going to punt. Oh, he's just going to let the clock run. He's just a wild card.
His main strategy is, I don't want the other team to touch the ball before they go to the locker room.
He's just a wild card. But sometimes he'll be super aggressive. He's been that.
Right? Well, it feels like the Lions – doesn't it feel like the Lions just fucking –
that was my issue within the game. He's like spread it out all game long, and then he gets at the end of the half, and he's like won't push the envelope. It's like, well, Kyle, you've been throwing – and then he immediately starts throwing it after. He gets very turnover scared. Maybe it's the Jimmy scars. But I don't think you can coach that way, definitely in the Super Bowl against one of those teams, specifically the Ravens, and be turnover scared. I think he's the coach. He's the only coach left who's turnover scared, who has those scars.
Yeah, yeah. I think partly it's because he believes as long as they don't make mistakes, they win. If we just do the basics, as opposed to, like, I think some teams feel like we got to go take some shots. We got to take some chances. We got to make something happen, right? I think I just think
modern thinks if there's a little more aggressive in general.
Kyle thinks if there's 7 possessions in this game, great. Like, we'll just do our thing and we'll score more than you score because these plays are going to work more and your plays work.
Yeah.
But then somebody hits a home run over the top. And it's like, oh fuck, we're down 10-3. Now you're playing from behind. That's why you can't play from behind. Did you guys see Kittle in the McAfee show where he admitted McLeod ran the wrong route in that deep pass and Purdy yelled the shit out of him? Apparently, Purdy didn't miss that throw. I didn't see that. I love hearing that Purdy yelled at him, though. Shanahan said after the game, the defender fell down, and so Ray Ray kind of ad-libbed because the defender fell down. But I went back and watched.
It feels like an ad-libber.
It does. When you go back and watch that last drive, you're like, all right, biggest drive of the year. Who we got out there? Ray Ray and Chris Conley? Can we get Jennings on the field, please? There were a lot of Ray Ray and Chris Conley. Now, Conley had the big catch, but...
Yeah, he did.
Just, you know, Kyle, just plug him in. Plug him in. Lost my dog Friday. I'm happy to have something to feel excited over for another week. R.I.P. Chaco. Brown Lab, you think? Chaco?
Yeah, maybe a pit. Chaco? Something big. I'd be shocked if it was a Chihuahua or something. R.I.P. Chaco.
R.I.P. Chaco.
It's a tough moment.
Yeah. All right. On that note, anything else to add today?
We just need. I don't know. Yeah, just makes me shake my head. But again, this is the collars of the digital era. The expectation.
Ravens, Chiefs. Who you got?
I feel like there's just the softness sometimes in this fan base. It makes me. I don't know these people. Like, I don't know. I'm not texting with them. But
8 billion people on the earth. If you want to find an opinion you disagree with, you can find it. Don't fix it.
There are some things that are just like, yeah, this guy's not playing well.
Like, yeah, I mean, this thing's going to play. We're about to see it play itself out. That's the beauty of this. I wouldn't want a quarterback not worth arguing about. That's no fun. I mean, until you get Brady, that's more fun. It's not worth arguing about Brady.
Who the fuck are we talking about? I just, some of these conversations.
Why are we fixating on it?
Because I see it everywhere.
Who cares?
Chat, but I see it.
You
but
don't illuminate
who
it.
Who are these people? These are the same people that, like, again, that wanted Trey to start and Purdy. It's like they just kind of go with the wind, and their takes are just out of left field. It's like, and then you start reading, it's like, am I actually saying like Trent Williams sucks or something? Like, what are we talking about? How can you gain this information in your head and have this thought? I don't know. Like, universally, everyone that watches the Niners should be like, Ryan Clark's an idiot. Like, everyone's on the same page there. But there are certain things that are like, God, shouldn't we all be in agreement on this one? Maybe not.
That's nothing works like that. I will not be able to stomach losing to golf. I'll tell you that much right now. Because I've been saying for multiple years that golf can't be, the Niners should not be afraid of golf. They beat them 5 straight games.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty confident they're going to win, but.
Are you?
I don't know why. I mean,
who's going to win?
The 49ers.
Oh, okay.
No one was more confident than me against the Packers. I mean, I was more confident than like Kyle and Trent until I wasn't.
I think a lot of people, you, me, and a lot of other people included, have not recovered from believing that game. There's a part of my body that still thinks they lost that game.
Yeah.
And is angry about it.
Now, see, I think sometimes you just need to examine a situation. You do a deep examination.
Like, yeah, I think a lot of the hangup is like him throwing poorly in the rain does not matter right now. You don't have, just like you don't have to pay him right now, right? You win a Super Bowl, you're not paying him $150 million. Right?
No. Yeah, I mean, the conversation of paying guys, that'll be next year.
And he'll play 17 more games, hopefully, before then.
Yeah.
I think part of the problem, too, is like anybody acting this whole time like the debate on Brock was over. It wasn't over. It doesn't end on a guy for 2 years. It doesn't end in 2 years on a guy. So we got new information on him. But the Lions game is also new information.
There's really only one guy in the league you can't debate at this point. It's Mahomes. Everyone else has some debatable points.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Allen's now 6 years in the league, and we're still arguing about him. And he's a top three quarterback. Lamar is going to win a second MVP. I promise you, guarantee you one thing. We will still be arguing about Lamar in 2024, like next season. Guaranteed.
Herbert next year with Harbaugh. Be a lot of eyeballs.
Arguing about Herbert. Yeah.
Okay. Guys drove me away.
All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging. Did we get to all the super chats? I don't know. I got lost in some of these. Why don't they roll Purdy out of the pocket more? I did like Purdy's little. Was that a design run Purdy had to the sideline, to the near sideline, to the right side? I don't know if that was on purpose or not.
Before the touchdown?
No. Not that run to the left. There was one that looked like a designed Purdy run to the right that he just ran out of bounds, no gain.
I watched that one.
The end zone view on his scramble for the touchdown was like, I think he almost triggered it to Ayuk, and it would have been dangerous, but he didn't.
Went on the play on the final drive?
Yeah, yeah.
You thought he almost
like
threw
a split. There's a split second where Ayuk might be open, and it would have been a really dangerous throw. And he raises his arm just a hair.
That could have been really bad if it went the wrong way.
Somebody said $20. Got to read that one. Did I miss one?
No, it's the Brazilian currency.
I can't keep track.
It's Brazilian currency. It's
what
the does
it translate to?
Jonas?
Yeah. Jonas, the problem is it's not your take on Purdy. It's that football is a competition. All you have to do is outplay your opponent. And Purdy outplayed Love, and that's why they won. And the playoffs is just that. Survive it all. I think that's what we're getting at there. All right. If there's one thing we remember from today, it's... R.I.P. Chaco.
R.I.P. Chaco.
1,800 pesos. All right, everybody. John's going to go detox. We'll talk to everybody later. Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator.
Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.